What's up, Foos? Main event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me, about to get them, all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
You don't have to listen to Sports Grid.
You can always go out in the woods, find a rabbit, take his foot,
and rub it.
Or you can get the winning edge
right here.
And you won't get any blood on you.
This is Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM.
Pro football full circle.
Jalen Richard on a third down. He checks in, stays in to help blocking. Down the middle, deep for Ruggs. Ruggs has got it. 10-5. Yeah, baby! Jackpot! Vegas touchdown!
I think they did a good job as a bunch of grown men of handling their emotions throughout the week, putting them in perspective when it was time to go play the game. It is a job for all of us, and again, they seem to do a really good job with it. We'll see what goes on from here. We'll see the consistency that we can have going on. I think that'll be the challenge for us.
Jackpot, baby! NFL week number 7 is here. Welcome to Pro Football Full Circle, right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius Channel 204. Joe Lisi, George Kurtz kicking it around. We're going to be talking about best bets, the full slate of action this coming Sunday and Monday. Can't wait, but let's talk about that game the other night in Cleveland. Big performance by the backups, Case Keenum. They get it done. They were a 1-point favorite at the start of kick, 3-point victory over Teddy Bridgewater and the crew. Vic Fangio, that offensive genius, he led the Denver Broncos to a total of 223 yards in the game. Cleveland's defense started fast and they dominated that matchup. Now move to 4-3 on the year.
Yeah, you know, the funny thing is you said that game was the other night. That's how bad it was. It feels like it was days ago.
I know.
Unfortunately, it was about 12 hours ago. All right, that game was bad last night. And I'm watching the game. The first thing, only thing I'm thinking of, oh my God, Joe's going to kill Fangio tomorrow. Just kill him. So he goes going through my mind over and over again. Yeah, that's, he's dead man walking, right? I mean, I don't think they'll fire him in season. I think they'll wait till the end of the year, like most teams do. There's no one to get in season anyway. He's not doing anything that's fireable as far as, oh, I got to get rid of him now. The team has issues here. I also wonder this, Joe. It's Drew Lock time. Not that Drew Lock's going to change things, mind you, but I still think they need to find out about this guy for sure here. Bridgewater's not getting it done. I wonder if Drew Lock's going to be in, if not the next game. I mean, he lost 4 games in a row now. If that's a one more loss, I don't think he has a choice.
Here's the problem, though. Here is the issue, is that you look at Vic Fangio and just the offensive philosophy. It is so conservative. Going their way. Look at last week with Las Vegas. I mean, the team basically limps into your house. You have everything going in your direction. You have the advantage from a coaching perspective. You have the negative criticism surrounding the Las Vegas Raiders. They go in as 5-point dogs. You're supposed to start fast in terms of that type of atmosphere. You can't do it. You have 4 turnovers in that ballgame. Flash forward now to last night. Look at what happens here. Team can't move the football in the first half. He wants to run every single play. I mean, come on. At what point do you throw caution to the wind and say, you know what? What I'm doing isn't working. I have to change it up. He's so old school that the issue is not the quarterback position. If they were more aggressive with Teddy Bridgewater and they took a different offensive approach, this offense, in my opinion, would be somewhat productive.
It could be their reigning Bridgewater in, but it seems to be done all through Bridgewater's career, too. Saints did the same thing. Carolina, to a degree, did the same thing. Maybe this is what Bridgewater is. It's what he's best at. He's not good at opening it up. That goes through my head as well. I mean, it's not Fangio, because you're right. They seem to be like way too conservative, especially for a team that doesn't have... Listen, I like Javonte Williams, Melvin Gordon. They're fine running backs, but they're not. And these are not guys you're going to wear down the opponent with. You know, you're going to keep running, keep the ball away from the opposing team, and we'll keep moving the chains. They're not that kind of offense. You know, you still got Sutton, Fant. You know, I know. Listen, I know they're not all that healthy at wide receiver. You got guys who can catch the ball there, yet they're not using that for whatever reason. Like I said, just it's a strange game plan to me, week in and week out. And I think you brought up a valid point there that I didn't go through my mind. Last week you lost to the Raiders, a team, as you said, had all sorts of issues with the John Gruden situation, and you got annihilated at home. This week you're playing a battered Cleveland Browns team. Right, you're down the backup quarterback, third string running back. Beckham's hurt, Landry's got hurt. I mean, listen, everything played into your hands, other than you weren't at home, and you lost the game. Right, you lost the game. In that final drive, by the way, where everybody and their mother knew that Dernis Johnson was going to run the ball, and you couldn't stop him. Third and seven, you couldn't stop him, and that was just
Dernis Johnson. I mean, talk about that performance. The kid, I mean, here he comes, 22 carries, a buck 46, and a touchdown. Shows you that running back really maybe is not as important as a lot of people think. And in terms of you could grab a kid off the street, there's no reason to have a journeyman running back. Look at Dearness Johnson. It all comes down to the offensive line. If the offensive line is opening up holes and you have a young running back, you can get production. So, I mean, that's what Cleveland has built this team on. The offensive success is a ground and pound mentality. As good as Baker Mayfield has progressed in the scheme over the last 3 years, they are what they are because of the rushing attack. And even without Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb, this team's going to win some ball games. So even though they have injuries, I still think Cleveland's a playoff contender as this season progresses, even if Baker Mayfield is shelved for a period of time, George.
Well, Baker Mayfield at this point is nothing special, and they're going to have a tough choice about what to do with him when his contract's up, which I believe at the end of the year they can make that move, because even average quarterbacks are going to get $25 million a year, and that may be what he is. He just may be nothing more than average. He certainly doesn't seem to be special, so they're going to have a tough choice. Are you going to keep pay him that money? Do you start from scratch here? That's a tough choice for Cleveland coming up. As far as making the playoffs, yeah, they got the extra spot. I'm not going to say they'll get in. I think they'll be there as far as one of those teams that could get the sixth or seventh spot, sure.
Yeah, it's a gutty win. When we come back, we'll start with week number one, talk about the early games, and then kick it through Sunday and Monday night. Joe Lisi and George Kurtz right here on the grid. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Back on Pro Football Full Circle, Joe Lisi and George Kurtz kicking it around, jumping right into the 1 o'clock action this coming weekend. Week number 7 is here. Big battle taking place in Baltimore. Best team in the AFC, Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, 5-1 overall. They have that train rolling in Maryland, Georgie. 6.5-point favorites over Broadway, Joe Burrow and the crew. You know I hate Zach Taylor. Gotta admit he's doing a fantastic job. Another win on the road. 3.5-point favorite over the Lions last week. Now they're catching 6.5. They've dropped 5 straight to the Baltimore Ravens. I still would lean the Bengals here. Totally set at 46.5. I like the over as my best bet in this ballgame.
I'm with you there. Like I said, you and I agreed a lot on stuff this week. I like the over in this game as well. I think it's going to go over 46.5. Probably not going to touch the game itself. As far as that, I probably do lean take the points with the Bengals as well here. What I'm looking for with Cincinnati is this. All right? You're playing well. You look like a different team. We knew you'd score points this year, right? With Burrow, Chase, Higgins, Boyd, Mixon. You're going to score points. The question was your defense. We're going to give them up as well here. And for the most part, the defense has been much better than I expected, Joe. I mean, much better. You know, we talked about the Cowboy defense that sort of made that turnaround. Cincinnati's there, too. It's not as flashy as what the Cowboys have done. So I like the Bengals in this game. I'm going to bet the over. I'm not going to bet the spread itself. But give me the Bengals. But most importantly, Joe, just don't get blown out. Please don't lose 38-13 and be the Bengals I thought you would be. I don't expect you to win. I think you'll cover but lose.
Lost 5 in a row. It's tough. They lost five in a row. They don't believe. I believe right now this is a different group. They're playing with confidence right now. Obviously, Joe Burrow has that offense grooving. I mean, they can run it with Mixon. They could also throw it out of the backfield as well. He's caught 51 receiving yards last week. I believe it was on 10 catches or 7 catches. But he stepped up in the short to intermediate game. The biggest thing for me is the defense. The defensive approach for Cincinnati has to be, we cannot allow Lamar Jackson to beat us on the perimeter. They've stepped up. Do you believe that Lamar Jackson takes a different approach? Play action is big for this offense. Before we move on, total for Lamar in the passing prop, 234.5, which I believe is a little bit high because last week he threw for 167 against the Chargers.
Different kinds of defenses, though, right? And that he didn't have to throw against the Chargers. They got such an early lead and obliterated the Chargers, right? That game was over quick. So now it was just, they were in just get the game over mode here. So I don't know if the game script's going to be the same there. It might be. Wouldn't shock me if Baltimore gets out to an early lead and once again rides the same wave here. You said it in the opening. Right now they're the best team in the AFC, and they're playing like the best team in the AFC. They look great. They look really good here. So it could be the same script here, but I don't know if I'm going to bet on that again. That being said, I'm also not going to bet the over 234. I'm not.
All right. We'll see.
I don't trust
234
that
and a half. Yeah, so he's got to get to 235.
Still not betting it.
All right. Okay. All right, we'll see. I mean, I am curious to see how this game plays out in terms of the offensive mentality for Baltimore, been running at will no matter who they play each and every week. Let's talk about that battle in East Rutherford. We bashed Joe Judge. We bashed the Giants in terms of where's the offensive identity. Here comes Sam Darnold. He's coming back home. He's coming back home to East Rutherford, laying 3 on the road against the Giants. Giants 1-5 overall. Saquon banged up there. Offensive playmakers banged up. Galladay hasn't lived up to expectations. Total is set at 43, George, minus 110 either way. I got to think Matt Rhule in this spot bounces back, even though no Christian McCaffrey, I don't think it matters. More complete team in Carolina. They went toe-to-toe what I believe is a really good Minnesota team last week, almost pulled it out in overtime. I think they have the momentum rolling, win this ballgame by 7-10 over the Gents.
Well, we could certainly push back on Minnesota. They've been a so-so team at best. And Carolina didn't. Well, Sam Darnold didn't show up for 3.5 quarters there.
Also, the I know. Last half, until it mattered.
He played 96 yard. Then he played well. Yeah, Joe may have lost a bet on the 96-yard Carolina drive. Was it 4th and 10, Joe, and a 4th and 6? They converted on that drive.
It was a 4th and 10. He threw a 41-yard dart to DJ Moore. No, I was sitting on Minnesota, but I was sitting on Minnesota at minus 2.5. I had to sweat it out through a touchdown, a 2-point conversion, and then overtime.
All right, so back with this. Once again, you and I are either going to be very happy on Monday or very upset.
Oh, boy.
This is one of my favorites, by the way. I don't know how it's only minus 3. I don't. You know, it's sort of what I said about the Cowboys last week. You know, it seemed to be a sucker bet. Something smelled. Well, that's what I feel about this one. Something just smells here because I don't see how it could be only minus 3. But Giants look like they gave up last week.
What would you put Carolina? You would put them 5 or more?
I'd probably put it at 4.5. You know, somewhere around there. Giants look like they gave up against the Rams. I know it's the Rams, a much better team than Carolina, but Carolina's played some ball this year. Giants haven't played any ball yet. Not anything. You know, one thing I'll give it, I am curious about Sam Darnold. Like I said, he played a miserable game against Minnesota until that last half of the fourth quarter. He does this again here where he doesn't play well. I know they don't have much at backup quarterback, but Matt Rhule had to come out this week and give the vote of confidence, the dreaded vote of confidence for Darnold. He can be on his way out here. The problem is they don't have anybody else, right? And Matt Rhule also had to, by the way, say, no, we're not going to be in on the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes. Listen, that may be lying for all we know. All he's going to do is say, oh, yeah, we're looking, we want Watson. You're not going to do that with your quarterback in play right now. But their only backup is P.J. Walker. So Darnold probably has a longer rope than people realize, but he's got to play better. He's got to play better, and I do think he's one and done in Carolina as far as a starter.
Well, they did draft Will Grier a couple of seasons ago that I thought, you know, would have been given a shot to be a starter. They bring in P.J. Walker that played with Matt Rhule at Temple, XFL standout for the Houston Roughnecks. I mean, just a dynamic performer in terms of that league. He's an athletic quarterback, short, inconsistent passer at this point in his career. I don't know if he can lead this team to victory, but I like Carolina. I like Joe Judge's coach. But I don't like the offensive identity. I don't know what they're trying to do in New York right now. Are they a methodical team like Vic Fangio? You want to run it? Or are you going to put weapons around Daniel Jones like Kadarius Toney that has stepped up? You have those playmakers like Sterling Shepard and those complementary wide receivers like Slayton. Why don't you toss it 40 times a game? We understand the turnovers, but I'd rather live and die with turnovers, at least attempting to score, than to shorten games and try to win 17-13 when my defense can't hold up against anybody. That's the problem that I have, George, in this ballgame. So give me Carolina. I actually think it's a higher scoring game as well. Giants, I believe, were right on the total with the LA Rams last week, right in the area of 49, 49.5. It was 38-11. Give me the over 43. I think it's a shootout in the East Rutherford.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you there, too. I can see points being scored that in this game here. By the way, Will Grier's on the Dallas Cowboys, so he's not going to help Carolina.
No, I understand that. I didn't say he's on the team now, but they did draft him last year, 2 years ago, to be the potential starter or at least challenge for the job, right? And then they bring in P.J. Walker. That was Rule's relationship with P.J. Walker was why he got the start when Bridgewater was out last year. No?
I don't know if he was drafted to be a star. I think he was a quarterback they drafted to try and develop him. I'm a big believer in the draft, by the way.
You don't draft a quarterback, but wait a second. Hang on. You don't draft a quarterback in the second or third round if you don't plan on starting. I mean, what is the mindset? You just take him because you take him? I mean, you have no plans on potentially starting that quarterback like Eason with Indianapolis? Then why take him three in the third round at all?
Well, see, if you would have let me finish there, you would have heard the answer here. Because you're looking to develop a quarterback, see what happens here, see if he can be that guy.
But how much time do you have, George? It's a win-now league. It's not. We're not talking about the Stone Age back when Aaron Rodgers came out of Cal and they let him sit for 3 years. It's a different mentality. You have a two-year window for an NFL head coach for most head coaches. I don't understand that mindset.
I don't have time now to finish my thought here.
Well, I understand. But we'll pick it up on the back end, too. We only have 8 minutes per segment. So when we come back, we'll be breaking down NFL week number 7. Joe Lisi and George Kurtz right here on the grid. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Down NFL week number 7. Georgie and I are getting a little heated on the Carolina quarterback situation for Matt Rhule and the crew. We both like the Panthers on the road in East Rutherford. Going to turn our attention to the battle in Green Bay. Taylor Heinicke on the road. This line opened up at Green Bay as a 9.5-point favorite, Georgie. Now on the FanDuel Sportsbook over the last couple of days. I mean, money's coming in on Washington because the line is 7.5 in favor of Aaron Rodgers and the crew. Total is set at 48.5, -110 either way. Something's fishy about this line because I know that Washington's defense hasn't stepped up since week one. They should be getting, in my opinion, about 10 points against one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, an offense that's hitting on all cylinders. And now the money's coming in the other way, or the line is at least dropped by 2 points. As long as it's over a touchdown, I'll take my chances. Give me Taylor Heinicke. Give me Washington somehow, some way to keep this game close in Lambeau.
Yeah, I think you put it perfectly. It's fishy. Something smells, because I agree. It should be higher here. I'll still take the Washington football team. I really hope you got them earlier in the week when it was 9.5, 10. Maybe they can keep it close. I'm kind of interested in the over here, too. Washington can't stop anybody. I think Green Bay's going to score points. So the over is in play from here as well here. Washington and the over.
I'll tell you what, I lean to the under specifically just because I think if Washington does win this game, they can't get into a shootout. It'll look exactly like the Kansas City blowout, 31-13, even though they were in striking distance maybe in the third quarter before Pat Mahomes pulled away. They need to run the football. We'll see if they can do that. It's a 1 o'clock kick. Let's turn our attention to the best game of the day, I believe, in terms of the AFC. You have Kansas City, a 4.5-point road favorite over Tennessee, fresh off their 34-31 victory over Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. If you want to take a shot with Pat Mahomes, back-to-back road games, minus 114 on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Total, 57.5. 57.5, minus 110 either way. This looks like a shootout in Lubbock, Texas, between Oklahoma and the Red Raiders in terms of a college type of total here, George. I'll tell you what, I would lean to Tennessee in this ball game, and I'm going to go under. I know that both defenses haven't stepped up, but 57.5 to start in terms of an NFL game, give me the under, give me the home team to possibly strike the upset.
Well, you found a couple of games we're going to disagree on here. I'm going to bank on Kansas City. I'm going to bank on the over more. I think it's Monday night all over again. All right, we're going to get 60 plus points here because neither team I don't think is going to be able to stop the other. And I think they'll both make mistakes as well here. So I think points are coming here. This is, once again, goodness. Offensive goodness is coming out of this game. A lot of points here. So I'll take the, it won't be a high amount on the over, Joe. 57.5. I mean, that's, wow. I can't remember too many totals that high, but I'll take it. And as far as Kansas City, two things here. One, short week for Tennessee. They're still at home, but still a short week here. And Kansas City, maybe, just maybe, they started to figure things out after halftime of the Washington game, where they played a much better game. They were trailing all of a sudden. Second half, they obliterated Washington. Yes, I know it's Washington, bad team, blah, blah, blah. But still, maybe they put things together here. I like KC in the over.
Well, if you think about just the 57.5 total, right? Think about 38-20. That was the Sunday night game a couple weeks ago with Josh Allen and Buffalo. You need a lot of things to happen. I mean, you really do. I mean, if Tennessee does sustain any type of drives with Derrick Henry, you're hoping that the under does come in. I mean, we have to see. That's the weakness still of Kansas City. Washington couldn't take advantage of it in terms of the first half. They were put into long third down situations with Taylor Heineke. This is a different animal with a veteran quarterback, best running back in terms of the NFL, a physicality that just wears down opposing defenses at the point of attack. We'll see if Tennessee can go back-to-back against potentially two of the top teams in terms of the conference. That would make them the front runners, right? I mean, just from a wins and losses standpoint, if Tennessee were to knock off both Josh Allen and Pat Mahomes in back-to-back weeks, are they the best team in the AFC then?
No, they're not. I don't care what happens. They can knock on Kansas City 58-0, and they won't be the best team in the AFC. That defense has a lot of problems. We saw that Sunday against Buffalo. I think we'll see it in this game as well. They might outscore them. It's a possibility, just like they did against Buffalo when Josh Allen, you know, slipped on the 1-yard line, couldn't get in there. They might outscore them, but they're not the best team. That's, unless Baltimore, something weird happens to them, Baltimore is still the best team after this week.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm still leaning to the physicality of the Buffalo Bills. I know they didn't get that road win. I know they have two losses. But if you're banking on coin right here, right now, potentially, in my opinion, Buffalo is still the best team in the AFC. And I'll go a step further. I still think they're the most complete team when push comes to shove in terms of the NFL. We'll see how that plays out over the months of October and November. Big battle in Miami. Fresh off their 23-20 loss at the hands of Urban Meyer in London. Now they're 2.5-point dogs against Matty Ice and the Atlanta Falcons. Atlanta, a 2.5-point favorite, coming off a bye, minus 110 either way. Total set at 47. Juice to the over at minus 114. I love my fish in this spot. Tua second game back. I love them plus the points, plus the 112 on the money line. And I think this is the highest scoring game of the day. Love the over 47 in South Beach.
Yeah, this is like I said, another game you and I disagree on. I'm going to go with the Falcons here. I think Miami's the better team, but I think everything's just doesn't play into them this week. Playing in England last week, short week. Didn't take the bye this week. Atlanta is coming off a bye, so a lot of time to prepare. Everyone's healthy now for Atlanta. They're not a better team than Miami. Miami's a banged-up team. Short practice week. I'm going to go with the Falcons here. The over's interesting because I sort of lean towards you that it could be. I'm not gonna say it's gonna be the highest scoring game of the week, but I do lean towards you that the over is more likely than the under. But I don't know why you think it's gonna be such a high scoring game. I mean, I don't know if these teams are gonna light up like that. And even if he has that kind of offense to outscore, I mean, once again, to outscore Kansas City, Tennessee, I don't see that happening for these two teams. But you've caught my eye now that maybe I should be thinking more about the over.
Well, these teams played on August 21st in the preseason. I know it was the preseason. Atlanta got blown out 37-17. I just feel like Brian Flores might have a good read. I feel like the offensive staff might key off that a little bit. You got one look at a team. We agree that Miami has the better roster potentially. You're playing at home, even though you're coming off the game in London, a little jet lag. You're your home dogs. I think the heat could be a factor for Atlanta in this ball game. We'll see. I mean, we'll see. But the fact that Miami's catching 2.5 points, they're 1-5. They need to make a statement in this ball game, and I think I have the younger team here, and I believe in Brian Flores more than I believe in Arthur Smith at this point in the season. So, well, I'll take my chances with the Miami Dolphins, and I'll take my chances on the over. I think this team potentially could break out. Atlanta's defense was atrocious last year, maybe playing a little bit better, but I think they get worn down in the heat in Miami. Let's turn our attention to the battle in Foxborough. Bill Belichick has owned the Jets. They're 7-point favorites over Zach Wilson and the crew, -106 on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Total set at 42 and a hook, George. Second time a charm for the New York Jets. They got blown out week three or four by Bill Belichick. They turned Zach Wilson over. And can they get the outright win on the road here?
You know, first of all, I thought the NFL wanted to avoid this, where you have two division teams that are done playing each other by week 7. And I find that really strange. I know Michigan, the Jets weren't expected to do anything this year, and maybe the Patriots all not expected to do anything either here. But I just find it weird that these two teams are done in October. You know, and you got two more months. That's almost kind of strange. I thought Goodell didn't want stuff like that. They wanted to make sure those division games are there in December. It was week 2 when they played each other. 25-6 was the final here. I can't say this enough. For the Jets, really, you're a bad team. Right? You were always going to be a bad team. It didn't matter about the new coach, whoever you brought in. You were going to be a bad team. This should be about Zach Wilson, Elijah Moore, Denzel Mims, Michael Carter. Play them all. Get the veterans out. The veterans can't help you right now. All right, are the veterans better? Is Jameson Crowder better than Moore, better than Mims? Yes, he is, but he's not going to help you in your future. Those guys are. You got to find out about them. You got to bring them up here. That's all the season matters to me about the Jets is the young players and finding out if they're the guy. Get them comfortable to be the guys in their respective positions here. I'm going to go with New England. Once again, I think they bounce back after, I don't want to say devastating, but a disappointing loss to the Cowboys, especially how it happened here. I think Bill made some mistakes coaching in that game here. Jets are coming off a bye, so I don't think it'll be a blowout. I don't think it's going to be 25-6 again. But I think points are going to be scored in this game.
I think it's going to be the over in this game.
I do like the over, yeah. I do like the over. It's actually going to be one of my favorites later on, over 42.5. But I'm not going to bet the game itself, although I don't think it's going to be a blowout.
You're coming out of your comfort zone with the Jets. You're taking the Jets and Patriots. All right.
No. Total. I'm taking the over. I'm not taking the Jets. I don't trust the Jets, but I'm going to take the over.
I said the Patriots and Jets over. That's what I said. The Patriots and Jets over. I didn't say the Jets. I like the Jets. I don't know if the over comes in because I think that Patriots recognize they can't get into a shootout with anybody as good as they are and as good as Mac Jones might be. The weapons are lacking. I think it's a carbon copy of what they did in terms of game one. They'll look to grind it out, run the football, you know, force Zach Wilson into mistakes. So we'll see. I got to have confidence that Zach Wilson finding and seeing this team for the first time, catching a touchdown, take my chances, maybe an emotional letdown with the Patriots after that overtime loss to the Dallas Cowboys. Big battle taking place in L.A. You got Jared Goff now returning home to face his former team. We'll talk about that. Line opened up at 15.5. It's already up to 16.5 on FanDuel, minus 110 either way. Total at 50.5. We'll talk about that next. Joe Leeson and George Kurtz coming right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
Continuing our week number 7 coverage, talking about all the picks and all the games on the board, left off with the Detroit Lions on the road in L.A., 16.5-point dogs, one of the bigger spreads for this coming weekend. Jared Goff does return home to face off against his former team and Sean McVay. L.A. dominant win over the New York Giants. Total set at 50.5, George, minus 110 either way. I have no confidence in the Detroit team to get this over. I know you could say maybe L.A. blows them out, but if you're Detroit in this matchup, you can't go toe-to-toe with the L.A. Rams and Matt Stafford. They couldn't go toe-to-toe with Cincinnati at home. I still would take the 16.5 points here, but lean to the under in this matchup.
It's almost like taking the 16.5 on principle, right? Now it spreads too high. You take the 16.5, you hope. And I'm sort of leaning with you there. I do think the Rams are going to blow them straight to hell, though. I really do. Campbell, remember, came out and he really put it on his quarterback in the press conference at the last week's game that he needs more from Goff. So he's calling Goff out here. It is the come home game for Goff. You heard McVay say he's sorry with the way it happened as far as the trade of Goff. I don't know why you're sorry. You did what's best for the team here. I don't think anybody could truly blame you, including Goff. It wasn't working out there. So we'll see what's going to happen there, but I'm very curious of what's going to go on.
All right, we'll see. Another game is a 4 o'clock kick. It is Las Vegas, fresh off their 10-point win over the Denver Broncos. I mean, you look at Derek Carr and the crew, over 300 yards passing on the road, ran the football in the second half with Josh Jacobs, moved it on that front seven. Now here comes Philadelphia and Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts, is he the guy? Isn't he the guy? Philly catching 3 on the FanDuel Sportsbook, minus 118, excuse me, for the Eagles, minus 104 for the Raiders. Total set at 48 and a hook. Juice to the over at minus 115. I still like the Raiders here. More complete team. They're focused. Derek Carr is the leader. At Las Vegas, -3. Potentially one of my better bets for the weekend.
Yeah,
we'll see. George dealing with some canine issues back there. We'll see if he can regroup. Las Vegas 3-point favorites right here on the FanDuel Sportsbook, minus 104. Eagles minus 118. If you're the Eagles in this ballgame, you need to have a balanced offensive attack. You need to run the football more consistently with Miles Sanders. They have not done that. And when you look at this Las Vegas offense right now, they are more consistent. Henry Ruggs has stepped up. You have one of the top tight ends in the NFL in Dallas Waller, and you have a defense led by Max Crosby that is playing confident football, very solid in terms of run support. They potentially can make the Eagles one-dimensional in this ball game. We'll get George's take when he comes back in this matchup, who he likes. I like Las Vegas. I'm going to lean to the under as well in this ball game, Georgie.
Not even my dog. God, it's my mom's dog slipping out. That's I got a delivery out front. Dogs. Okay, as far as this game, I am with you. Once again, you and I agree too much here. I like the Raiders in this game as well here. And the Eagles, now this is Sean Watson, things heating up. This is all about Jalen Hurts again. Once again, is he the guy there? That's all that matters here. Wins and losses don't matter to this team. I think that's the way they have to look at it. Especially the first-year head coach. They're not going to fire him anyway. He shouldn't need to feel that pressure to win right now. It's about developing Hurts, who's been up and down. You know, he's really been up and down here. Raiders defense is a little bit better than we thought they'd be as well here. It's at home. I like the Raiders -3 a lot in this game. So it will be one of my favorites.
Ooh, all right. We'll see how that plays out. It is a 4 o'clock kick. We just heard the news about Antonio Brown being ruled out for this ball game against Chicago. Gronk is also out. Tampa Bay -12.5, -110 on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Total set 47 in Tampa, -112 to the over. Hated the way Matt Nagy coached that game last week, really. Really thought they had an opportunity to cover that number, 5.5 over Aaron Rodgers. Blew it in the last 5 minutes of the ball game. Justin Fields on the road. Oh, man, I want to pull the trigger on Chicago, but I can't. Give me Tampa Bay -12 and a hook. And I think that this game goes over. We talked about Chicago's total in this matchup, 17. I think that's a little fishy. Give me Tampa. Give me the over in this ballgame, George.
I don't feel the over here. I think it's going to be a Tampa win where they're not going to score a ton of points here. You know, there's no Antonio Brown. Mike Evans should be. He has a quiet game. This is going to be a Godwin game. If I'm a guy, I'm going to bet a Godwin prop absolutely in this game. I think he's going to be the main guy through the air here. I don't think the Chicago Bears can take advantage of what Tampa doesn't do well, and that's cover the pass. I don't know if Fields is ready to do that. So that's my issue with taking the over there. I think Tampa Bay wins the game. I'm not going to bet the game itself, but I think Tampa Bay wins the game. But my favorite bet in this game will definitely be the Godwin. Whatever the prop is, it's not there right now. But whatever the prop is, I'll have Godwin over yardage, probably over his catches, and I might just go for broke and have him as an anytime scorer as well.
Go for broke, George! Are you going for broke with this? Yeah?
But Godwin, yeah. I think Evans is going to be blanketed, but I can't remember. The Chicago Bears says I have a good cornerback. I think he's going to take care of Evans. There's no Brown. There's no Gronk. I'm just going by process of elimination. I think Brady's going to look Godwin's way early and often.
All right, we'll see how that game plays out. I do like the over. I feel more confident backing the over in this ball game than I do laying 12 and a hook, even though it is Matt Nagy. I believe in Tom. I believe they're the more complete team, even though they're playing potentially top, or you want to say more blue-collar and physical defense in Chicago. We'll see how that game plays out. I still like the total in that ball game. Let's look at this matchup in Arizona. Undefeated Arizona. Would you believe it? After 6 weeks in the season, Kyler Murray and this offense, explosive. Nobody can shut them down. And I don't believe Houston's going to be able to shut them down in this ball game. Catching 17 and a hook, -110. Total set at 47.5. Flat in terms of the money, even money either way on FanDuel. I would still lean to the 17.5. I don't love it, but I do feel confident in the under because I don't think Houston's going to be able to move the football. This could be a one-sided affair, just the way the Buffalo Bills took care of business against Davis Mills and the crew.
I mean, listen, we know Arizona's going to win the game. Question is, are they going to cover it? Are they going to cover 17.5? It's a large spread. Certainly not the largest I've ever seen here, but it's a large spread here. I think Houston's terrible. I'm not going to take Houston. Like I said, I could take the Detroit Lions. You convince me of that because they can run the ball with Swift, maybe keep it close, kill some clock there. But I can't do that with the Houston. I'm not going to touch that. And once again, it's another game I'm leaving alone. I'm not taking the 47.5 either because I don't know if Houston can score anything. I don't know if they get the double digits in this game, so I'm just leaving this game alone.
All right, we have two games. We have Sunday night and Monday night. Both, I think, are solid matchups. Indianapolis coming off the win over Houston. Jonathan Taylor with a big performance. You saw Paris Campbell get involved. T.Y. Hilton, and Michael Pittman. Carson Wentz, 200 yards passing. They'll take it as long as they can run the football on the road in San Francisco. Catching 4.5 points, -114. Total set at 43.5, -110. I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I'm going to take the Colts on the road in this spot.
Wow. All of a sudden, you're a big Carson Wentz guy. This will be a Jonathan Taylor game. It's got to be Taylor all day long here, trying to keep it close here. Garoppolo, likely the start of a San Fran. I think, once again, if you're looking for props, Deebo Samuel will be my guy here. I think he'll have a nice game there. Indianapolis is beat up in the secondary, to put it nicely. As far as the game itself, I probably lean your way with Indianapolis. You know, +4.5 here. Last time we saw them in prime time, though, that was a big-time choke versus the Ravens. That's a game they should have had here, yet they found a way to lose. So I'm gonna go your direction here. I don't like the 43.5, I'm going to leave that alone. I don't have a feeling one way or the other for that. But I'll take the Colts and the points with you as well.
All right. I feel really confident about next Monday night or this Monday night's game coming up with New Orleans laying 4.5 on the road in Seattle. I know it's the 12th man. I know Geno Smith took that Steelers team into overtime. I know they were able to run the football. Total set at 42.5. Juice slightly to the over at -112. We've seen New Orleans on the road in potential spots play unders. Look at that ball game a few weeks ago against Mac Jones and the New England Patriots, 28-13. I think it looks somewhat similar to that. I think they can run the football with Alvin Kamara, force turnovers. This identity of Seattle can't stretch any defense with Geno Smith vertically, even though you have DK Metcalf. Give me New Orleans, but I'm gonna go contrarian. I think this game goes over the 42.5.
This is a weird game. New Orleans coming off the bye, Mike. They got some of their players back off PUP the 6 weeks, but they didn't get Michael Thomas back, right? Which if I'm the Saints, I'm livid right now. All right, he's not even ready 6 weeks into the season. Had the surgery late when he really should have been ready before the season started. So I can't be happy here at all. The problem, you said, it's Geno Smith. Yeah, he was not good last week. I don't know if that's changing any, though, for this game here at home against New Orleans. Yeah, I don't feel great about it because I don't know if New Orleans should be favored by 4.5 on the road versus anybody. More as the Seahawks here, so I don't love this. I don't think a lot of points coming in this game. I just does smell like a right around the number, 21-17, 21-20, somewhere around there. But I'll follow you. Give me the Saints here. I don't have a strong feeling for it either way. I just hate Geno Smith.
I just don't see how they're able to stretch it over the top. You got to take chances. They were so heavily reliant on the rushing attack. I mean, those running backs pounded the rock in the second half against the Steelers. Basically, I felt like they played more of a prevent type of style because they had a 14-0 lead. They felt that Geno had a pass, and they hit him with the run before they could even blink in that ballgame. Are they going to be able to run on New Orleans' front seven? I don't think so. I don't think they're going to have that type of success. That means longer third downs for Geno. That means potential turnovers. That means potential three and outs for the New Orleans offense. I don't care that Michael Thomas isn't in this lineup. Obviously, you got to be upset if you're Sean Payton and the crew. Get the football to Alvin Kamara in the short to intermediate flat in the passing attack. You saw Najee Harris have a solid afternoon or evening against Seattle in terms of the run game and the screen game last Sunday night. I think it's the same type of recipe. Way too many weapons. You have the more confident quarterback, even though he's not an elite quarterback at this point in his career. It doesn't matter. New Orleans has the better defense. They're more consistent right here, right now. And even though they're on the road, I got to buy in. I also think that if they fall behind in this ballgame, Seattle, what do they do? Do they rely on the run and say, okay, we're not going to put the football in Geno Smith's hands at all because he can't get the football vertically to DK Metcalf or Tyler Lockett?
I mean, I think they will protect him to a degree. But, you know, Seattle also has to win games here. We don't know when Russell Wilson's coming back, right? They have they play.
Well, let's say realistically at least 4 games, right?
Well, that's what we expect here. All right, so let's say once again, they play New Orleans Monday night. Next week they got, it's either Jacksonville or Houston, they have one of the worst teams. And then a bye week. So this is a huge game because whoever they're playing next week, they should be able to beat even without Russell Wilson. If they can pull this game out at home, then you will have gone 2-1 without Russell Wilson, assuming he comes back after the bye, which is a big assumption. We don't know that. But they can't just protect him and go, okay, we'll see what happens. They need to win this game. They truly need to win this game. They go 2-5. It may not matter anymore when Russell Wilson comes back. The division's already over. You're not going to catch Arizona. So you go for one of those wild card spots. And, you know, you're going to be falling pretty far behind here. Not to mention home losses, which means you've got to not win on the road later in the season here. Big game here, but I just can't feel it with Geno.
All right, we'll see. I lean to New Orleans. I actually like New Orleans a lot, and I like the over even better. We'll see if there are our best bets. When we come back, keep it where it
is. SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Pro Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and George Kurtz.
I'm wrapping up today's show. My picks have absolutely been horrible and sucked. I'm getting back on track this coming Saturday too for the college. Keep it where it is. Let's jump right into it. We talked about New Orleans on the road in Seattle. I hate Geno Smith, even though he stepped up, got the cover on the road against Pittsburgh. I think they get blown out by New Orleans. I'm laying the 4.5 points with the Saints. That's one of my better bets this coming weekend, Monday night's game. Let's turn our attention to that battle in Miami, George. I love the Dolphins, even though they had the game in London, no bye week. No off rest. Atlanta off a bye. I don't care. They beat them in the preseason. I think Miami is a 2.5 point underdog and 112 on the money line are live. Also like the over 47 in that ball game. So I'm jumping in on that. And then Washington plus the 7.5. Something smells in this ball game. The spread should be much higher. It came down. Give me the Washington football team somehow, some way to keep it close. And then I'll leave you with this. New Orleans is total 42.5 to me, over without a doubt. I think this game is in the 50s somehow, some way, Monday night in Seattle. So there you go. New Orleans over Miami, Miami plus the 2.5, New Orleans over 42.5, and Washington plus the 7.5.
You know, I find it funny. You and I agreed on most of our bets, right? But yet, our favorites, none of them are the same. So I find that, I don't know if that's good or bad. I would have liked if we agreed on more of the favorites. I like the Panthers minus 3 over the Giants. I just think the Giants are a broken team. They have all sorts of issues. Maybe they rally after that terrible performance last week. But I'd like to say the same thing about the Panthers, who I know are a better team, and they need to win this game to get back in the race here. My favorite props, Godwin, Debo, if I can count those. I don't know which ones are going to be my favorite, as we don't have the numbers yet, but I'm going to be looking at those hard this week. Give me the over in Cincinnati Baltimore, the over in Jets, New England, and give me the Raiders. All we do is win, baby. Raiders, minus 3.
All right. For George Kurtz and our great producer, Andrew Torres, I'm Joe Lisi. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the games, everyone. We'll see you for NFL week number 9 next week.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.